Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was the amazing Marvin Gaye, and we're broadcasting live from the Meditation Museum in downtown Silver Spring. So, how's everyone doing? Are you counting your blessings? Are you feeling grateful? I was thinking the other day that so much is happening in Texas, it's happening in Florida, in the Caribbean. We just heard from one of our representatives in St. Martin, and she had a very profound story to share how the meditation center there was spared all the wrath of Hurricane Irma. But yet down her block, there was just so much looting and stealing. And it goes to show that when we are trapped, you know, when we're in the corner, when everything is taken away from you, what is it that emerges from us sometimes is what's at our base, is we're living. And this is why I think our show, like America Meditating Radio, and a lot of the positive things that are out there for us, we really need to feed them. We need to serve them more. We might be quite comfortable, you know, in the corners of our own little home and safe and protected with our alarm systems or dogs or a spouse, or some of us even have weapons to protect us, or some of us live in neighborhoods that we consider to be safe. But what really will emerge from you if you're ever truthfully tested? Whether it's a health test, a relationship test, a financial test, a mental or emotional test. This is my question for all of you today, to really look at how well are we manifesting our happiness, and are there steps that we can take to really bring happiness to the forefront of our lives? But it doesn't mean that while someone else is like struggling to identify their purpose for being here, that you're still happy. I don't look at happiness as a very external affair. I look at it as a process of a return journey. I know that love and truth and purity are at the core of my existence. I can't say that I consistently feed that truth in every moment of this particular incarnation. And so as we go through our journey and as we move as gracefully as we possibly can or as best as we can, we'll find ourselves just not feeling strong enough. And some of the signs of a lack of strength is a sense of insecurity, fear, a lack, feeling not appreciated, not heard, not seen, not loved, not cared for. So all of those emotions are signals that I'm not taking care of the soul. Now, going to the beach, I don't know if that takes care of the soul, but it gives me a moment to pause, but it really doesn't make me, for example, feel stronger. But I do appreciate being by the beach because I've always loved water. I mean, heck, I'm Pisces. It's just normal for me to like the water. But I know that at the end of the day, it's the way that I feed my story inside of myself. It's the way that I take care of I, the soul, who is maneuvering this body called my vehicle or my chariot. And so the way I, the soul, decide, choose to live through this body, to play out this part, is entirely my decision. And so if I'm getting weaker, I'm getting more sensitized, I'm feeling a little bit extricated or isolated, check. Is there some deeper spiritual study I can do? Is there some more company that I need to be in? Because human sustenance and human company is huge. There is an article, oh wow, everyone, you've got to find Brené Brown's latest article out on America feeling so divided and so separated. The title of the article is called, America's Crisis of Disconnection Runs Deeper Than Politics. And basically, the statistics that she offers are overwhelming, that majority of Americans actually feel lonely, that physically they're not in human company. They're so connected to their devices and their technology and so on. But at a real level of existence, there just isn't the sense of companionship, connectivity, the ups and the downs that comes with relationships, which is something you and I and our parents' parents have not been able to escape. So now that we have technology and we're having all these virtual relationships with one another, it still isn't real. Because at the end of the day, you turn off your computer and you're back with you. What have you done for you? Food for thought. Hey, you're listening to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. I want to play something really special for you. Here is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And we came across an incredible musician called Monique Rhodes. I think she's from Australia. And she did an album called Heartbeats. And she features a lot of evolutionary leaders and inspirational leaders. And this track is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. Enjoy.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. That's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. It cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. it cannot come except as now. So it's now the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention, notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions, just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Wow, welcome back. That was Eckhart Tolle, Power of Now, from the Heartbeats album by Monique Rhodes. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. And we're so proud to welcome Stephanie Lefebvre. Okay, Stephanie, you're going to help me. Stephanie Lefebvre. She wants to live in a world surrounded by powerful women who take responsibility for their lives and step into their greatness. As a happiness coach, she's helped hundreds of women master the law of attraction, shift their mindset, and transform their relationships so they can live happier on a daily basis. She speaks at retreats and conferences worldwide, and most importantly, she's never missed one of her son's baseball games. When she's not chasing after her two kids, you can find her writing, traveling, teaching, laughing, working by the pool at Soho House, and coaching busy moms in her Happy Mom Squad. Today we welcome Stephanie to America Meditating Radio. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, thank you. It's
Hi.
So nice to talk to you.
Same here. You know, you're happy logo, the way that you have spelt happy, H-A-P-P-I, is the name of our puppy.
Oh, really? How cute. I love
that. Oh, she's
that.
Adorable.
We have a puppy, too. His name is Scooter, but I wanted to name him Happy or Lovey or something, and my family was like, no way. We get enough of that.
Oh, that reminds me. Our other puppy was a Shih Tzu, and the nanny stole her from us, and her name was Love.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I know, isn't
it? We need so much of that.
We do, and we have to keep finding ways in how we can integrate the current state of the world and spiritualize it without seeming too odd or stepping too far out of our game. Stephanie, please tell us a little bit about yourself, and how did you actually get started in being a happiness coach?
I think I've been a happiness coach all my life. Everyone would agree except my sisters, maybe. But they're like some of my best clients. I think it's just kind of the nature of who I always was. And yet, you know, I went to school for something completely different. I was an actress. I worked at a health club for 20 years. But I think I always integrated my happiness coaching into everything I did. And it started because I didn't have the happiest childhood, as most of us don't. You know, my parents were divorced. My dad is an alcoholic. My sister died in a car accident when I was young, and she was a teenager. I was 11 years old. And so I felt like I had to climb up this big mountain toward happiness. It wasn't always just handed to me on a silver platter. It never is. I think happiness, you know, it takes a lot of work and daily habits, and it's a choice. So I started choosing happiness, and then I made it like my full-time job. And I just really integrated it into everything I did and started teaching it. And then, you know, eventually started my own coaching business and got trained in a lot of different modalities that really helped me. And so it's really my passion to help busy moms really find more daily happiness through shifting their mindset, changing their relationships with themselves and everyone around them.
Wow, that's beautiful. You know, it's interesting because this morning, myself and Sister Gita, my co-host, we were just somehow just talking about relationships and the power that they carry when we choose to make them work for us, whether it's a toxic relationship where it's helping you to rise above the toxicity, or it's a very loving relationship where it's very much in line with your energy, but you're still working on it. And it was funny, you know, Stefani, because I said to Sister Gita, there's only one relationship, you know, that really was my most traumatic experience in my life. And yet, when I look back at it, I realize how powerful of an experience it was to have had that person in my life to push me further into deepening my spiritual integrity and my spiritual purpose for being here. And, you know, sometimes it just doesn't look like it's working out or it's good for you because it seems all weird. But then after a while, you know, you go through the process and you go, this was good for me. This was really good for me.
Yeah. I think it comes with so much acceptance. You know, when we really accept who people are in our lives and that nothing happens without a deeper purpose, there's sort of a love that surrounds it all. And then you step into gratitude for it. Like even for our deepest challenging relationships, if we can accept them and be grateful for them, it's a total game changer.
Such a big plus. You know, according to the United Nations World Happiness Report for 2017, the U.S. was ranked third in 2007. And in 2016, it came down to number 19 in terms of overall happiness. I actually thought it would be even lower than that.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I
mean, I know. I would think, I know. You know, after you go to 90 countries, I've seen happy people, and they don't drive a Tesla, and they don't live in a mansion, but they're happy. What's going on with our level of happiness as a country? Any ideas?
I feel like we're thinking that it's outside of us. And that it's not a choice that comes from within, that it's our circumstances instead of our state. You know, that it's everything that the circumstances that we're in, and it's our politics, and it's our bank accounts, and it's our, you know, the people in our lives. But really, it's the state that we're in internally. Happiness is an inside job, not an outside job.
That's so true. We hear so much about the talk about law of attraction. So is it that we're not happy, so we're attracting not happiness in our lives? I mean, making up my own words.
Yeah, totally. It works. I think that our thoughts can just spiral out of control, and our thoughts create our reality. You know, what we think and what we say create our reality and our existence. So when our thoughts can spiral out of control in a negative way or in a positive way, we're creating. Every thought we think is placing an order. And I think as Americans in our society, it's really easy to get on the negative train and start riding that train towards something that we don't want. You know, it's more socially acceptable to complain about the weather than to talk about how happy you are and the life that you love. You know, and so I think we just, as a society, and I don't think it's everywhere, I think since I'm American, I'm talking about the Americans, that we, you know, tend to let the negative things spiral out of control, and it's more socially acceptable.
Wow.
And so we keep creating things that we don't want because that's what we're talking about and what we're thinking about.
It's conditioning too, you know. It's like generations after generations, we've been conditioned to believe that happiness meant the perfect external settings. And, even after we've witnessed so many people acquiring those toys, we still are perplexed. Like, why is it that they don't seem happy either? And I think this is where the work of the soul comes in. And in your work, you talk about four simple steps to manifesting anything. Can you give us a sneak preview of that?
Well, the law of attraction, I know you're familiar with it, is three basic steps: ask, believe, receive. And I think those are beautiful, and I've dug deep into this work for over 25 years, so I get that. What I realized when I was more consciously manifesting, I broke it down into four simple steps that just look a little bit different. And I start with step one, which is to get excited and know that this thing will come. So I get right into the feeling place to start, because the feeling is really where we're creating. So just like if you placed an order for a new car, and it was a red convertible, and it was springtime and you were so excited, you'd be excited that it was coming. You place the order and you'd get excited and you'd know that you could drive that car this weekend or whenever it came in.
True.
If you ordered a pair of shoes, if you booked a vacation, you'd get excited and you'd start packing. You wouldn't doubt it. You wouldn't think it wasn't going to happen. You wouldn't second guess it all. So getting excited and knowing that it's going to come is a very big step for me. So that's step one. And there's ways that we can do that. You know, visualizations and affirmations. I do this like morning shower process of, if I'm trying to manifest something in my life, when I shower in the morning, I shower like I'm getting ready for that thing. You know, whatever it is. And use your shower time. You're in the shower anyway. And usually you're sitting in there in the shower thinking about a conversation that might go wrong, or you're like making a to-do list, or you're like, make it more productive. So step one is really getting excited and knowing that it will come. And step two is to change your thoughts by any means possible. Because your thoughts and words have to be tuned in and aligned with what you desire. And if you're thinking bad thoughts all the time, you're placing order for that. You're not going to create what you want. So your thoughts and words have to be aligned. And this can be kind of challenging for people, because I feel like we've already sort of dug this path in the woods with certain thoughts. So there's this clearing, or this clear path that we're going down, and we keep jumping back to that. But we have to, it takes a little work to create this new path through the woods. And to create that new path, you can use a cancel process. When any negative thoughts come up, you can cancel, erase, erase, replace, stop, cancel, clear. You can start reaching for a better feeling thought. You can reach to the end result. You can get excited. You can put on happy music. You can surround yourself with more positive, happy people. You can do all these things to change your thoughts. That's why affirmations work, because they can change your thoughts and pave that new path through the forest.
No, I'm not an I tend to struggle with affirmations. I hate to interject. I don't mean struggle, but sometimes I'll tell myself, I don't know, actually, I've not done this, but what I know about affirmation, law of attraction, you go, yes, 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 the $1 million coming, $1 million, and I hear that.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
But one of the most important aspects for me is, what am I thinking and doing at the same time that's going to create this energy in me that's even ready to not only sustain what I brought to me, but you know what I'm saying? Increase it. Could you talk on that?
Well, I believe affirmations have to be as true or truer than the negative thought. So if I'm a terrible cook and it has been affecting me and it's been a problem in my life, I can't just go, I'm a great cook, and start saying, I am an excellent cook, and that's going to work. It's not, because my subconscious mind, which is 93%, of what's taking over there, is going, no, you're not. Wait, you just you never cook. You burn everything. You can't even make Jell-O, you know? So I can get my conscious mind on board, but that's only 7% of what's going on. So I totally agree with you. An affirmation has to be as true or truer so that we start getting the subconscious mind on board. So an affirmation for me for that instance would be, I enjoy cooking healthy meals in my kitchen. And that's a more positive switch. So it's a turnaround to the negative thoughts. So for me, it's a course correction rather than an affirmation, quote unquote, of what people normally look at affirmations. You know, I'm a money magnet and I am going to attract all the wealth I like. Those things don't work for me. What works for me is a course correction thought to the thought,
right,
I'm broke.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. You know, affirmations, and, you know, once I do these course corrections and turn around these thoughts, then that affirmation might work eventually. I'm a money magnet.
Mm.
I may be able to step into that when I've gotten my subconscious mind on board to saying yes to all the things that are more believable and as true.
Beautiful. Well said. You know, we're moving into a new kind of a normalcy that we're very concerned that our children will just look at it and go, Mom, what's the problem? Everybody does it. But for us, it's like, no, everybody doesn't do it. It's just not what we're supposed to be doing. And you said that when dreams come true, we create a new normal. What does that mean? I love that.
I think when dreams come true, then we step into this different level of how we're living. And it's a new normal, but I really think we should celebrate that new normal. You know, not just pass it over. Like so many people, you know, they want the right mate. They want the right job. They want this to happen. And then it does. And then they're like, celebrate it. This is our new normal. You know, we may go from, you know, booking a coach ticket to booking something business class, and we go, whoa, huge. You know, now I have more clients. Wow, this is huge. I'm going on a date with a guy that I really adore. This is huge. Celebrate that new normal. But I think it's really beautiful to look at far we've come and how we're up-leveling our lives, not just materialistically, in all the experiences and the ways that we're up-leveling our lives. And it's these beautiful new normals that I just love to reflect on, because it helps me see the gap, not just the gap from where I am to how far away it is to where I want to be, but it helps me look back at the gap of how far I've come and the new normal that I've created. Yes, just a lovely reflection.
Yeah, very nice. So what should we try to prepare for in America as our new normal?
I think it's great to prepare for a new normal of peace and love and gratitude. I mean, step into that which we want to create. So get into it now before it's even here. And we can get there with our thoughts, with our minds, with our hearts, with our connection with each other. You know, there's so much of that in our lives. I think we need to focus more on it being there.
Get that.
And then
lovely.
We attract it in.
Love it. Love
it. So step one was get excited and know it will come. Step two was change your thoughts by any means possible. And step three is be grateful and appreciate every little thing that happens along the way.
And step four?
Gratitude will get you everywhere. And step four is be happy and let it flow, because happiness is the art of allowing. So the happier we can be, the more that we can achieve all those things that we're after and manifest all those things that we want and get into those states and create, as Americans, a new normal of something better than we ever expected.
So sweet.
Happiness
is
the art of allowing that in. Yeah, every little thing we can do, just being happy. We don't have to be happy with the state of the world. We can be happy with our blueberry muffin and our child. You know, we can be happy with petting a puppy. We can be happy having a glass of wine with a friend. You know, there's all these ways, listening to music and tuning in to personal development and listening to your show, which is so uplifting. All of those things really affect us and affect our world, because our happiness is how we allow it in.
Beautiful. Hey, Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks for adding to our happiness quota of today.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Please leave our listeners with a website that they can get a hold of you for more information.
Oh, thanks. My website is myhappylife.com. It's my, H-A-P-P-I, like your puppy, life.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, and many good wishes.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. It's making such a difference in the world.
Thank you. Take care. So it's in our hands, and it really requires a lot of, I think, inner introspection. I mean, really deep introspection as well. And to recognize, as Stephanie said, happiness is not an external purpose. It's not an external reason. What's happening outside of you and me is not the source of our joy or lack of joy. So how are we taking care of ourselves? Make it clear to you. How is it that you want to feel? What are the places, the kinds of friendship, relationship situations you want to be in the future? And start with your present scenario. Start with right now. Start with where you're at, and cross your fingers, but keep your faith. Don't let that go. All will always be well. Thank you so much for joining us on the air today. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. I want to thank St. Thomas Aquinas College for always looking out for us, and the Arco Iris Foundation as well. Now, many of you know I have a new album out, Inclusion Revolution, and of course, I want everyone to get a copy, not for economic reasons, but for the purpose, the vibration, and the meaning behind it. So please look for Inclusion Revolution Together with Love by yours truly, Sister Jenna, and download your copy from iTunes, Amazon, or so on. Take good care, be well, keep your happiness in your control, and be patient, everyone. Here's Free of Attachments from Inclusion Revolution. What if I no longer carried any attachments about who I think I am or how someone else perceives me, or attachment to my country or my gender, attachment to a religion? What would it be like to be free of attachments to labels and to simply be loving? Just for a little while, I invite you to let go of attachments. What if I was no longer attached to my name? How does it feel? Let go of your attachment to your gender. You're no longer a man or a woman. Let go of your titles. Let go of your nationality, and experience yourself letting go of even your religion. Now let go of your body. If I don't have a name, a gender, a title, a nationality, a religion, or a body, then who would I think of? And who would think of me? It would be the Supreme Being that would think of me, and I would think of the Supreme. In this meditation, I invite you to sit in an experience of unlimited freedom, in real inner power. Now gradually observe how the soul feels. Puts back on the awareness of the body, nationality, the religion, the title, the gender, and the name, and bring through these labels your experience of being with the divine. Feeling free and at peace with yourself.